This podcast was adapted from a live radio broadcast originally aired on WSUM FreeFlow.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect the views of WSUM, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, or its Board of Regents.
Hello, and welcome back to Game Days with the Girls. My name is Danny Savin, and I'm joined alongside
Cam Felstead.
And you are listening to WSUM here on FreeFlow. So, Cam, it's been kind of a wild week since our last podcast. Why don't we get in to the softball team, who seemed to be having a good showing against Utah Tech, but ended up splitting the doubleheader.
Yeah, so is my mic working?
Your mic is working.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know if I was that loud.
You just gotta be closer to it.
Girl, look at how close I am. I'm like almost
kissing
this thing.
She's so close. Oh.
That's gross. Yeah, I think the Invitational overall went pretty well. I think it went almost as good as the Mary Nutter, you know?
Mary Nutter.
But did you see, I don't know if you follow NCAA softball, but this picture actually right here, which nobody's going to be able to see.
Oh,
got in the top 10 photos for the NCAA.
Oh, this week. Very cool.
So that was pretty hype. I saw that. But yeah, we lost our, what are the two scores? 9-8.
Yeah.
And then 2-6. 2-6 is kind of.
So doing just so good. Sad. It took place in St. George, Utah, and the Wisconsin team was 9-9, but then split their games in the opening doubleheader of the Utah Tech Invitational. Both games were against Utah Tech at like the Trailblazers home field, so they did have home field advantage. And while Wisconsin lost the first game to the Trailblazers as a walk-off, 6-5, they did manage to notch a win in the second game, 4-0. Crazy.
I was like, do you want me to respond to that?
I mean, yeah, that'd be kind of good if you did.
I'm kind of getting mad at this mic. I don't know if it's really. Oh, it kind of looks like I'm talking louder now.
You are. You just
have to see how like it was quieter before, though?
I do. I do. For those listening, Cam and I have an interesting history with the mics here in this FreeFlow studio.
You bet.
Not
we
because
do.
Of any soft or hardware issues, but mostly because we couldn't figure out how to turn one of them on.
Yeah.
Getting back to softball.
Yep. Back to that, because I was just curious if my mic was working. Yeah, we did really good, actually. Did we? What do you want me to talk about, Danny? You're looking at me like.
I was making sure that you were.
She is side-eyeing me. So, guys, if you could see, we need to start vlogging this.
Guys,
so
I was not side-eyeing.
How many dirty looks I get.
Are going wild. It was not a dirty look. I was making sure to see where your mouth was in proximity to the microphone.
I love kidding with Danny because she freaks out once I say that she's giving me dirty looks.
Yeah, because I'm not.
And if I sniffle, guys, my allergies are not very good.
It's allergy sneezing.
I don't have allergies, but I must have them now.
Okay, we're gonna tally how many tangents we go on, so that has to be tangent one. Great, we're starting at four
because we had we're gonna start at three because I think we had two and then that was a third.
Okay
guys, we're back on topic.
We are locking into softball. Cam, why don't you give our listeners your thoughts on game one?
So it was a really, really good game when I was looking online. I was looking at, I don't remember what the app's called, but how you can, like, watch it. Like,
yeah.
The stats.
Yeah,
live
vibes.
Stats.
Yeah.
And 9-8. That's a pretty good. Are you looking at the right thing? Am I looking on a second day or the first day?
Okay, I'm looking at, like, the March 1st.
Okay, am I on the wrong day? I might be on the wrong day.
I think you are.
Danny, talk about it first so I can get up to it, because I think I pressed the wrong day.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense. So, here's how it went down. Game one, Wisconsin piled on the base runners in the first game of the day. So, with three of the first four batters getting on base, it was Emmy Wells that brought home the first run of the game in the top of the first inning. The Trailblazers did respond, however, in the second inning with a run scored in the exact same way with starter Tessa Magnum. Tessa for the Trailblazers, giving up a double, a single, and then a long flyout. So essentially, both teams were hitting very well. The game then went scoreless for two innings, which is not super surprising in the game of softball. It's really hard to score a run. But the Badgers broke through in the fifth with sophomore Ava Kuzak hitting a ball that went to center field, and that allowed two Badgers to go ahead and get runs. So the Badgers were off to a really, really strong start, but Utah Tech pushed right at the end there and was able to walk away with a single, 6-5, a single being, yeah, just like one hit, a one-hit wonder. I'm kidding. She was not a one-hit wonder. But yeah, so that was game one. Cam, do you want to talk a little bit about game two?
Yeah, now that I got it up.
Now that we're on literally the same page, yeah.
Yep. Utah Tech 0, Wisconsin 4. That's right.
Rock on.
Okay, perfect. So, for the first two innings, first three innings, mind you, scoreless.
I've been minded.
I have been in that situation before. It is tricky being in like the first half of the game, not scoring, and having the other team not score. Puts a lot of pressure on you. Who's going to score first?
Who is?
Because that's like a big deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the fourth inning, the Badgers scored 3 runs, and I believe it was Emmy Wells with a 3-run home run.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. And then in the fifth inning, we went to score another run, and I believe it was just an RBI.
Okay.
It wasn't like a home run or anything. Yes.
That's okay.
Just an RBI.
We love a good...
Yeah.
We love a good RBI.
6 hits to 3 hits. Utah only had 3 hits. That's a really, really...
So was our pitcher just doing really well, or was Utah Tech just like...
Well,
really?
Utah Tech had 2 errors.
Okay.
And pitching-wise, I don't know exactly how good our pitcher did, because it doesn't say strikeouts here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guess she did pretty well to hold them to, like, a no-hitter. Well, not a no-hitter, but a 3-hitter. That's not bad in college softball.
Yeah, no, that's really good. So that was, we will call... Segment of softball. And as much as I do love softball, I'm getting into it. I'm excited. I get to call a few games of softball.
So real.
Rock on, Big Ten. But let's talk about my favorite sport.
Oh my goodness.
What? Yeah. It's women's hockey.
Guys, we only got like 5 options here, and we know Danny's got the fangirling going on.
We do. We got the fangirling going on. The Badgers, who just played an exceptional game against the St. Thomas Tommies, blitzing them to a whopping 9-1. And softball and hockey are very similar in their very low scoring games. And it takes a whole team to really to find the net. It does. It does take
a village.
But in the 9-1 win, there were 7 different Badgers that scored for the women's hockey team, which is absolutely incredible. Britta Curl and Casey O'Brien, they posted 2 goals each, so a pair of goals, which was incredible. While Lacey Eden, Anna Wilgren, Vivian Jungles, who has been seeing a lot more of the ice, the freshman, is having a really, really good end to the season. We didn't see much of her at the beginning, but she is a force now. And then drawing it out were Layla Edwards and Katie Kowalski, who also found the back of the net as the Badgers, who now are entering the WCHA final faceoff with a 31 win, 5 tie, and 0 loss scoring record. And that was for a spot in the Quick Trip WCHA final face-off in Minneapolis, which is happening this weekend. Very exciting. I cannot wait. Well, actually, I can wait because we're playing Minnesota, and that could either go really, really well for us or absolutely horribly. But I'll be cheering nonetheless. A little bit more about the game, though. So Britta Curl was the first to score. Rock on. She's our team captain. We love her.
Rock on.
Yeah, rock on. She's iconic. And she scored for the Badgers halfway through the first period with an assist from Kristen Sims, who did not see any goals herself, but did tally 4 assists, which is still a lot of points.
Incredible.
Still incredible for the sophomore forward. Yeah, she is iconic. Kristen Sims really is a force. So then early in the second period, it was Lacey Eden who doubled the lead after catching the St. Thomas Tommies off guard, which was amazing. And then Casey O'Brien, who tallied the third goal. Wilgren tallied her second goal of the year. So this was an incredible moment for Anna Wilgren. Second goal of the year, which, mind you, hockey, very low scoring. And two goals is a very, like, reputable, very respectable amount. But it was very exciting to see her find the net once more. So Wilgren, yeah, she shot her goal. And then Vivian Jungles, Vivian Jungles is a sophomore. Yes, the 5'7 sophomore, seen a lot more time on the ice this season, brought it up to 5-0 with only 11 minutes and 11 seconds remaining in the second period, which is kind of crazy. The Badgers had already scored 5 goals at what UW students would chant 3-2-1 halftime. So, like, that's pretty crazy to think about it. In 30 minutes, the Badgers scored 5 goals. And they didn't stop there, because just 6 seconds into the third period, Curl found her pair of goals, which was amazing, and set the school record for fastest goal scored at the start of a period. 6 seconds, though. That's like, what, face-off, boom, you're down the ice, and right, like...
That's quick.
Pucks in the net?
Yeah. That, like, has to, like, work out just perfectly.
I would love to see her. I wish we could somehow have, like, a hologram that could replay it for everyone.
A hologram.
Yeah. That is what it's called, right? Right? The little things that, like, pop up in Star Wars?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it as.
It is.
Rock on.
I was just confused where you were going with that, but yes, it is.
But I want everyone to see this 6-second goal, because that is, incredible. That's crazy.
Rad,
as Danny would say. That is so true. I am Danny.
This mic move anymore. Okay.
Yeah, Cam's about to throw hands with her mic.
Well, I'm just, like, sitting here, and it keeps sliding away from me.
Tangent number 4.
Hey, guess what? I'm on the same thing as you.
So. Tangent number 4. Anywho, yep. Then St. Thomas tallied their first goal of the game, but the Badgers never to be left with an unanswered goal. It was Layla Edwards who found the back of the net, 7-1. And then, lastly, with just 5 minutes to go, we had Kotlowski. How... is fascinating. I don't know how you pronounce Katie's last name correctly. I apologize.
Kotlowski, I think.
Perhaps.
Kotlowski. Yeah, Kotlowski.
Perhaps. And then it was O'Brien who found her pair of goals, capping off 9 goals against the St. Thomas Tommies' meager 1. That was wild. So that was super exciting. And Ava McNaughton, the freshman goaltender. I always forget that Ava McNaughton is, like, low-key so tall. Like, she's 6 feet tall.
That is pretty tall.
Yeah.
For that's a hockey player, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I always thought Layla Edwards was one of the tallest, because, like, she's 6'1", so technically she is the tallest. But dang. No wonder Ava McNaughton is so good in her freshman season is because yeah, she has, the reach.
She's got a big frame, so she can...
Like, that's like some beast mode moments. That's crazy.
That's
but yeah,
crazy. Yep.
That was Ava McNaughton's 16th win this season. It's always great to see her and Jane Jervis? My brain really isn't doing
Gervais?
Pronunciation. Gervais! Oh my gosh, Gervais? It's Gervais. That's wild. Ignore me.
Yeah,
that was a crazy...
Like, it's like the comedian.
Gervais. Yeah. Wow, my brain just really... grew legs and walked away for a hot sec.
That's tangent number 5, and that was all Danny.
You know what, Cameron? You know
Wisconsin
what?
Wisconsin outshot St. Thomas 60-14.
60?
Marking the third time this season UW has had 60 or more shots on target in a single game.
60. Wow.
That's a lot of shots.
Wait, low-key, though? That makes the St. Thomas Tommies goalie that much more impressive.
Yeah.
Because out of 60, saves. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's 51 saves.
That's off to her.
What save percentage would that be? Hold on. I'm so curious.
You work on that and I'll keep saying stuff that notes of the game.
That's an 85% save percentage. So
which isn't bad.
Especially when you're getting peppered that frequently.
By the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah, for real. That's wild, man.
Kristen Stims moved to 10th in program history for points, scored in a single.
Heck yeah, she did.
With 67. And Wisconsin's 31 wins this season are tied for 9th most in school history. UW will make its 14th straight appearance at the WCHA final faceoff.
I'm so stoked. I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I really want them to bring home a win, and I think they can. Yeah. Those are the vibes. Yeah. So that was women's hockey with Danny, because Danny loves women's hockey.
Danny's dose of women's hockey.
Oh, Danny's dose. That's great.
Danny's dose.
So then what's Cam's?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
It ain't Cam's jams.
Cam's jams? No.
Okay, one second.
Danny's dose and Cam's.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out later.
This has to be. You need a fun title now. Wait, this is kind of iconic. These can be segments.
Yeah, they could be. Cam.
To everyone listening, you.
I need to look up.
This is the most incredible tangent we've ever had. Kind of iconic. Danny's dose and Cam's.
Would this be a verb?
Cantaloupes. I don't know. That's why fruit sounds like so good.
That
right
was
now.
So crazy because there's a whole different thing I was thinking of when you said cantaloupe.
Oh boy. Cam's
what?
See, half of being a woman in sports is everything has to sound nice, and I always want to look pretty. Because we're inevitably going to take pictures. I think this is like peak game days with the girls energy.
I'm looking up verbs, dude. Like,
yeah.
None of these sound cool. Not Cam's. Like Danny's dose.
No, Danny's dose is, Danny's that's really dose, good.
That was smart, guys.
That was really
that
good.
That was so intellectually awesome of me.
Yeah, that really was, yeah.
Like Cam's conduct, like what are these words?
Conduct? No.
Conduct is crazy.
Cam's, Danny's dose, wait, Cam's, I kind of love
okay,
that.
Okay, there's chat, but that sounds kind of not good.
Cam's chat? No, because that doesn't
Cam's,
like...
Cam's...
Huh.
I don't know. I really don't know, guys.
It's the alliteration. It's such a difficult... It's just such a difficult thing to do.
Real.
But yeah. Okay, wait. Let's keep brainstorming. And to those listening...
Okay.
If you have an idea... Contact us, because we would really appreciate it, or else we are going to be stuck here until we go to break, because we really need something. Cam's talk.
Let's see.
Oh my gosh, Convos with Cam.
Oh, that's a good one.
Danny's Dose and Convos with Cam.
That's good, guys.
Okay, so I guess it's your turn. Convos with Cam, where are we headed?
Okay, so Danny's got her fangirling going on. For women's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to take a different route, and I'm going to do a little bit of a mix of both because I'm kind of just like that.
Oh, she's feeling remix. Wicca, wicca.
Because I just wanted to talk a little bit about how there's a new number one in the house for women's, well, not women's softball, just softball overall.
I was going to, women's softball, I think crazy. Softball is inherently a women's sport. Yeah.
But Texas having 611 points.
Oh,
passed Oklahoma by 1 point.
Hook 'em.
Actually, hook 'em.
No, they really did. They hooked them and they drew them back and they
Oklahoma
pushed forward.
Dropped from the one spot for the first time in a very, very long time, and they lost their longest record or recorded winning streak, I believe, of 71 games.
Wow.
Is it 71 games? I believe it was. If I'm wrong, guys.
I don't know, but that is heartbreaking. Was it a really close
guys,
game?
Guys, I might be off by a mile.
A whole mile? A mile is how long it takes for me to get from my
71.
Dorm to the Bakke. Hey! She wasn't off by a mile. She was off by absolutely nothing.
I was right on the money, guys.
Yeah.
Right on the money. They
Yeah.
dropped the longest D1 softball win streak in 8 innings to Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns at their new stadium, Loves Field, which opened this weekend.
Oklahoma's or Louisiana's?
Oklahoma's.
They lost at home?
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
In their new stadium.
Heartbreak.
To a team they thought they were going to kill, hence the fact they played them.
That's crazy.
But, you know, you live, you learn, I guess. I don't know. Now, let's see. I think this is where I want to go with this. Did you see, Danny, that the tickets for women's volleyball at the high school in Indiana got sold out?
They're sold. I mean, like, I don't know why I'm surprised, but I am. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, let's say you're in Indiana and you have the opportunity to watch one of the best volleyball teams in the nation at your local high school. How do you not buy tickets?
I don't know. Like,
I that's what I'm saying.
Anywhere, like even at like the UNI or University of Northern Iowa, for anybody that doesn't know what UNI is.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I did not.
Like, there's going to be a game hosted in Iowa. Obviously, one of the best teams in the country, top four teams in the country, you're going to go watch them.
Yeah.
I think. Like, absolutely.
No, I'm right there with you. Like, even if they're not my team, if they are someone of note and I have the opportunity to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
Heck yeah, I will. Like,
this is a hot take, but like if Nebraska was to come to like.
Oh, I would go
Minneapolis
see them.
Or something,
yeah.
And play in the Pav and they play like a team that's not that big, like UMD or somebody.
Yeah.
Like I'd absolutely go watch that.
Wait,
like,
what's UMD?
University of Minnesota Duluth.
Get out! That's where I'm going to be all summer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The fact that you didn't know that is kind of a little alarming, but it's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, but moving on from that topic, I don't know when the tickets or sales come out for the spring game here that we're hosting versus UIC, but I will be buying the tickets.
Oh, did you see the scam that are football tickets now? On the topics of tickets, you have to make like a $50 donation to even be considered to get a ticket in the student section. That's heinous.
I think we talked about this last week a little bit.
Well, it's clearly still on my mind.
No, it's a good topic to bring up because I know that last week we talked about this because before I came here, I was, I'm going to say, kind of brain dead. But
rock on.
Yeah.
Felt
so when
deeply.
I came to like student tickets and things, I never really thought about buying them. And then I was like, oh, shoot, I do want to go to, like, basketball or, like, football games. So I bought a ticket not in the student section. And the ticket was, like, $300.
You did tell me about this.
And I had to make, like, a $200 donation. So really,
yeah.
In the end, I was paying, like,
$500.
Which is
insane. That's crazy.
And I sold the tickets, like, some of them.
Yeah.
But I didn't make back the $500. Like, I made back the amount I paid, but not the donation money.
Yeah.
Because, like, I sold the Ohio State. I sold the Iowa ones for good money. Like, all those games I made good money off of, but, like, the $200 donation really put me in the dirt.
And you're not even in the student
section.
And
it's not even an optional donation. Like, you have to donate.
No, you, like, but, like, why? Like, you guys got your new practice field approved.
We're already paying for school.
Like that's
as
crazy.
Students, like, I maybe understand as, like, a person buying a season ticket because maybe you're not alumni or maybe you're just a fan.
That's
so
fine.
Maybe, like, that's fine. But, like, making a student pay $50 is crazy.
Yeah.
Look at how much we're paying in student loans already.
No.
Like, I'm not paying anything.
But,
thank
like,
you,
we
Mom
are
and Dad.
Not here for it. Yeah, shout out parents.
Shout
we
out,
love you very
shout
much.
Shout out parents. I love you guys, even though you're divorced. Well, that's why I'm going here for free.
You're wild for that. Okay.
If they're listening, they're going to be giggling at that.
You really think so?
Oh, my God. It's a joke now. It's a joking matter. It's been 3 years.
Okay.
Love
we
that for me.
It.
Okay. Yeah, April 19th, UW Fieldhouse, Madison, Wisconsin versus UIC. Pretty hype.
And Cam will be getting tickets. So thank you so much for listening to Game Days with the Girls. And more importantly, Convos with Cam. We will
and
be right back.
Danny's Dose.
And Danny's Dose.
Of intelligence and everything.
Oh my gosh, so cute. So fun.
Okay.
We will be right back. We're taking a short break, but you are listening to WSUM Free Flow Game Days with the Girls with Danny and Cam. Hello, and welcome back to WSUM on Free Flow. You are listening to Game Days with the Girls. My name is Danny Savin, and I'm joined alongside
Cam Felstead.
And yeah,
let's go.
We can
good,
hear
we
you,
it.
Cam. We're
we
proud of you. Cam and I recently figured out the microphones. If you were not listening to the
tangent
first
number
half,
seven.
Tangent number seven. I was gonna say we gotta like start making a little tally count, or we just gotta stay on topic. One of the two.
We're gonna make a you know what I should start adding like a ding noise every time we add in the podcast.
That'd be
tangent
so funny, like
seven.
A little.
We should start doing like a bet on it. People should over under how many. That would be so sports.
Okay, yeah. So let us know in the comments if you can guess how many tangents Cam and I will go on in any one episode, excluding this one, clearly. But I guess that brings us up to like what, 8?
At least eight.
Yeah, we're doing really well. We're trying to be cognizant of it, and it's not going well, but we're doing our best.
We're okay, though.
But yeah, so in the first half, you missed us talking about, in Danny's dose, you missed women's hockey, because I absolutely love them. And in Convos with Cam, she dove into tickets, football, volleyball, and Oklahoma losing to, who did Oklahoma lose to?
Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns.
Right, the Ragin' Cajuns. Cajun fries are so good. Anywho.
There's number 9, guys, just in case you're counting.
But they're so good. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anywho. That was our college highlights. Now, we're moving on to probably the most heartwarming display of affection that could ever have occurred, and that is Jason Kelce's retirement speech
that he has been planning for years.
As in, like, he's been planning his retirement for years, or he's been planning his speech for years?
He's been writing his NFL retirement speech for years.
Oh,
per Kylie,
cutie,
in a like interview, she said that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I knew that he was getting up in age. He now has three daughters.
I thought he only had two.
Three.
Was she pregnant?
She has three.
No, she doesn't.
They have three. They have three.
I don't believe you.
They have three.
Are you being so... You're so... Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
That's wild. Yeah, Benny, Elliot, and Wyatt.
Yeah, Benny is the new...
Dang, I didn't know that.
Baby, why?
That's so cute, though. I kind of love that.
Yeah. He, like, okay. I did not grow up in Philly. I don't know not very much about the Philadelphia Eagles, but I'll tell you what. I've always really liked Jason Kelce. I thought he was a good guy. Like, and his speech yesterday had me tearing up, guys. I already told Danny this during the break. But it's just so crazy how, like, a guy can be so thankful. Like, there's a lot of athletes out there, I feel like, that are thankful and they, like, are selfless. But then there's some that are just all about themselves. And Jason Kelce is a, like, pure example of being a great teammate and a great guy. Like, he loves his family. He loves his team.
And he's not afraid to let the world see him cry, because men cry, too.
Real. Thank you. So Travis Kelce didn't care either.
I know. Travis Kelce bawling his eyes out as well. I think Taylor Swift is really getting him in touch with his emotions. Maybe they'll do a cute little songwriting session together.
He's been listening too much to, like, Evermore or something.
I know. But officially retiring after 13 seasons. And correct me if I'm wrong, Cam, but wasn't he with the Eagles, like, since being drafted? Mm-hmm. And he just, like, he never left.
Never left.
Wow.
He won a Super Bowl with them. Back in 2018.
Yeah. A lot of history made there. And absolutely one of the best players to play in his position. No doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, it sounded like you had some doubt.
No.
There was a little bit of doubt about
sorry.
It.
I inhaled through my nose.
Oh, but she inhaled through her nose.
I just was thinking about how we're not going to run on a tangent because this connects very closely.
Oh.
So, speaking of Jason Kelce.
Yes.
His combine record was broken this weekend.
No way!
And I believe it's called the cone drill?
Oh my gosh! By a Badger.
By Tanner Bordellini.
By a UWX player.
He was our center. He was our center last year.
Yeah, that was wild.
He broke Jason Kelce's record of 7.22 seconds. With a time of 7.16 seconds for the fastest three-cone time by a center in NFL Combine history.
Yeah. If you're Tanner, how do you pronounce it?
Bordellini.
Yeah. If you're Tanner Bordellini, though, and you're at the Combine, you've got to be feeling really good about yourself.
Absolutely. He was one of the big guys that ran very well in the 40-yard dash, running a 4.94.
Okay.
That is moving.
Rock on. That is a big man moving fast.
Yeah. And he ran a 1.69 10-yard split.
Okay.
Which was also second among the participants for O-linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he jump? I'm really curious what he jumped for.
I don't know.
I'm trying to see where that is. Okay. Oh, his vertical. He had a 32.5 vertical and a 9 feet for the, I believe, 904 was his explosion grade for the broad jump, which is incredible as well for a big guy.
That's crazy, though.
And his three-cone drill, he ran a 7.16. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
That's really good.
So he's having the time of his life at the combine. Did you also see, though, that Braylon Allen, like, bench-pressed the record? Like, out of everyone, he benched the most? The most reps. It was, like,
Blake
39
Corum
reps.
Beat him by one.
No, that is not what I saw.
Yeah,
when did that happen?
Braylon Allen had a 32 vertical jump, 19th out of the 21 running backs. He had a broad jump of 9.9, which is 15th out of the 20th out of the running backs. And he had 26 reps on the bench press, which was second out of the 11 running backs that did the bench press. First being Blake Corum of Michigan, who just won the Natty, actually.
Okay, you know what? Boo.
I thought that Braylon Allen would be more explosive vertical and broad jump wise. Him getting 19th out of 21 running backs was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. I did not see that coming. I'm going to be so real about that.
It surprised me that he bench pressed second out of the 11 running backs who did it, because he is a big, muscular guy.
Yeah, he doesn't really strike me as a running back, though. Like, if you look at him,
he looks like he could be, like, whatever his name is, Juice Chick.
Excuse me?
You know, like, the fullback for San Francisco? The one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
The one with the wife that does all the styles?
Yeah, no, I do know who you're talking about now. I was like, what is she
like
talking about?
Like a fullback, like a bigger.
But that's
runner.
What I'm saying. He doesn't look like a running back.
Like Jonathan Taylor and all those guys, not that they're, like, skinnier, but they're just, they're more built to run fast. He's just, like, a big guy. Like, he could run through you, but he's not going to run 80 yards and have nobody chasing him.
Yeah, that's crazy. That genuinely is. It's something else to, like, see how the guys perform in the combine. And then is that, can we talk a little bit about how draft picks are evaluated? Like, pre-draft, what are the factors that really go into it? It's the way they play in college and their combine performance, and, like, that's it?
Or pro day if you don't get invited to the combine. And also, like, your, like, athletic, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, you have to be, like, strong enough. And, like, a lot of that stuff is shown at the combine, but, like, there's some things that some teams do, like, you gotta get tested, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
For steroids and all that stuff. Any PEDs.
Okay.
And I feel like there's other things that go into it, but most of the things that go into it, you can do at the combine, which is surprising because Allen was selective with his workouts at the combine. And he did not run the 40-yard dash.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And for what reason did he not do that?
I have no clue.
Can you opt out?
I think you can.
Okay, but what is the benefit in that? Like, I'm genuinely,
I don't know, because if he would have ran slow, then it would have made his rank go down. Like, I'm kind of confused by that.
Okay, so you don't run at all? Like, that, there's no way that that is, like, the way to do it.
Like, yeah, I don't understand that either.
Be so for real. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then Tanner Bordellini, back to him, because he actually, because
he's actually performing well.
He did all the things at the combine, because that's, well, how you, that's how you show that you want to be there, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
He was second out of the 49 O-linemen with a 4.94 40.
Mm-hmm.
Third out of the 50 O-linemen with a 10-yard split with 1.69 seconds. His vertical jump, he got 10th out of the 52 O-linemen with 32.5. His broad jump was a 9.4, which was 13th out of the 50 O-linemen.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 7.16 second three cone, which is the first out of the 28 O-linemen. He had a 4.28 second 20-yard shuttle, which I don't exactly know what that is.
What is a 20-yard shuttle?
Like a shuttle run, so I think it's like you run back, run forth, run back.
So like you're... Yeah.
And that was the first out of the 26 linemen that did it, and he had 21 reps on the bench press, which was 25th out of 28th.
Okay, so but still.
He actually did great speed-wise. The strength was where he was lacking. And it wasn't even that he was lacking that much.
Yeah.
21 reps.
Is still wild.
Is really good, actually. Yeah.
And, like, it low-key sometimes is easier to build strength than it is to build speed.
And here it actually says, which I just said, Bortolini's lack is strength and length, with the bottom tier bench press showing.
What is length referring to? Like his
arm length.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like when you're blocking, you want to have a little bit of length in your arms.
Ah.
He's not the tallest. Like, he is tall, but he's not
the tallest.
If you look at the other guys in the draft, like, as we are starting to look at age going up now,
mm-hmm.
like 6'7", 6'6", 6'5", is where you're looking.
Yeah.
Or taller. If you're 6'5" or under, even, I guess I would say 6'6" or higher is what they're looking for now.
That's crazy.
The
median height just went up
because he had the mentality and he has been in the league so long. Like, he knows what he needs to do to be successful.
Yeah.
But the bigger guys in the league are the ones that are good now. Like, if you're a smaller guy on the line, you're gonna struggle because you're gonna get called for holding and things all the time.
Yeah, no, that's actually kind of crazy. I was at Target with my parents, and we were behind three football players, and I was like, wow. Because
this
weekend? This past weekend, yes.
Crazy.
It was a great time. Shout out Mom and Dad, thank you for driving up.
Wait, tall football players or
just our football players?
Yeah, but tall ones or
I mean, they looked tall to me, but I'm 5'9", so everyone is kind of tall. But, they had to be, 6'5", minimum. Like, these were big men. Yeah.
Yeah.
My point goes to show that even the guys that look big, when you compare them to the other people that could possibly be drafted or be playing their positions, they look small, which is a wild thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, can we talk a little bit about the difference between the Pro Bowl? That's not. I know what the Pro Bowl is. Pro Day and the NFL Combine. So, what is the main difference between the two?
So, what I would say, the NFL Combine, being invited to the NFL Combine is, a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Only top prospects get invited to the Combine.
Really?
The NFL Combine in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil every year.
Yeah.
Pro Day, however, you can, be invited and not, accept your offer to go to the NFL Combine. That's why, if you looked at the Badger posts, it would say, accepted it or whatever.
That's a wild... Why wouldn't you accept it? If you want to go play in the NFL...
Well, because some guys... Hear me out. Josh Allen did not get an offer to go to the NFL Combine, I don't believe, but he was at the Wyoming Pro Day. Dude was drafted in the first round because he was so incredible on film at his pro day in Wyoming in Laramie.
No. That I completely agree with. What I'm asking is, if you get an invitation to the NFL Combine, why wouldn't you accept it?
Some guys just don't want to do it with all those guys there because maybe it is a thing where it's they won't perform as well compared to these other guys. So they're kind of nervous and maybe that just gets to them. Maybe it's I don't know. But
if you can't perform in front of your peers, how are you supposed to perform in front of, 50,000 people?
If you look at that in the situation of, who didn't show, best players, I want to look this up.
Oh, yeah. Cam's pulling up the stats on us right now. I just genuinely, I'm curious. It's not that I'm, a devil's advocate or anything, but if you were given this opportunity, that means so much, and that opportunity being attending the NFL Combine, I don't understand not accepting. I truly do not get that. That'd be someone handing you something that you really, really wanted and then saying no.
Yeah, true. But there's some players that also, I don't know exactly if it's for everyone, but if you are accepted to the Pro Bowl, some people just don't want to go either, and that's not a big deal. Like, if you look at, like, Tyreek Hill, he did not go to the Pro Bowl. Or not to the Pro Bowl, to the Pro Combine.
BFFR. Well, no, yeah, the Pro Combine. Yeah. Wait, what are you talking...
I said Pro Bowl.
Are you talking about the NFL Combine?
Yes.
Okay, so you said Pro Combine.
Yep, and now I'm, like, all over the place.
But Tyreek Hill, to clarify, Tyreek Hill did not go.
He was a fifth-round draft pick.
But Tyreek Hill didn't go to the NFL Combine?
He went to West Alabama. Nobody was even thinking about him.
That's actually... Well, did he at least get the offer or no?
No.
Okay, but they weren't invited. That's the difference, is what I'm saying, is to not get the invitation is so different from getting the invitation and not accepting it. Like, the vibes and the energy just don't align on this one for me. They really don't. Maybe it's because I just had philosophy class and I need a reason for everything now, but that's okay.
I'm going to look up.
Yeah, you do that. You look that up.
I'm trying to figure it.
But Tyreek Hill's, like, incredible, too. I think it is most interesting when the best players of the season come from schools you've never heard of, or they have a history where you're like, that's super unimpressive, but look at what they're doing now. I love the underdog story. I think it is fascinating. I think the grit and the determination it takes to get there, impeccable.
Here's what pro days are, because I just looked it up. Why is it popping away? Oh.
Here's what they are.
Pro days serve as an essential opportunity for prospects who were not invited to the NFL Combine or those who may have underperformed during the event.
So, Braylon Allen, we might see at Pro Day.
For uninvited players, Pro Days present a chance to demonstrate their skills and potential in front of NFL scouts and coaches, potentially improving their draft stock.
Which is so valid.
Let's say... Braylon Allen didn't want to run the 40 with all those guys there, like Blake Corum and all those guys at the like NFL Combine, but he's going to run it here in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
I just think it's so interesting to opt out of something like that.
I think it was weird that Caleb Williams opted out of getting drug tested at the NFL Combine.
Did he
so
really?
So he could get tested later. That's what he said in the interviews. I think that's pretty weird.
That's pretty sus, actually. It
gives you a little time to get it out of your system, if you ask me.
No, for real. Like, what are you doing that you won't get drug tested?
What are you hiding that you don't want to get drug tested?
I'm with you. Even if it's like you were smoking weed the day before.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, the NFL is the only sport where you can't smoke weed.
Before. Really?
Like, you can't get in trouble for smoking weed as an NBA player or an MLB player.
But that's well of course not in the MLB. They used to chew tobacco, but
yeah,
that's crazy.
Or the Olympics. That's the only other place.
Well, yeah. Do you remember the whole like Cherie, the sprinter got disqualified because
I don't remember her name, but Sha'Carri.
Sha'Carri. I don't remember
Williams,
her last name either.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, but like we're on the same page.
Yeah, but she would have been incredible at the Olympics, and then you make her sit out because she smoked a doobie. Get out of here with that.
I know. And like her reason too, like for coping with the loss of a family member, like get off your high horses, guys. It's not that deep.
You think that's the biggest of your priorities? We got the Russians over here
doing actual, oh my gosh,
like doing actual steroids,
giving them to 16-year-olds. Like, okay,
unreal stuff.
BFFR right now, guys. Be so just, yeah, that's wild. That's actually crazy. That it really is.
Oh, one last thing. This is going to be quick.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Sarah Williams.
Yeah!
Me and Danny have been on this NFL topic, but...
But, like, Sarah Williams is incredible.
To Ronnie Porter and Natalie Luzinger?
Lesinger. And I think Sarah Williams.
Well, I'm just naming the three girls that got... Yeah, and Sarah Williams.
Are you talking about, like, all academic?
Oh, no.
Oh, Ronnie I'm so
Williams,
sorry.
Ronnie Williams got...
Porter. Ronnie Porter.
Ronnie Williams. Wow, that was
Wait,
crazy.
Who's Ronnie Williams?
No.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No,
okay.
No,
she meant Ronnie Porter. Porter. She meant Ronnie Porter.
Ronnie Porter, Porter and Sarah Williams both got their accolades for all conference. Ronnie was all honorable mention, I believe.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And then Sarah Williams was all defensive team, first team, and defensive player of the year.
That was wild.
And then Natalie was, I believe, sportsmanship award.
Nice.
So she didn't get accolades for her playing, but for sportsmanship she did.
Which is equally as important, if you ask me.
And Williams, I have a really good feeling, has a chance and is a top prospect for
the Naismith.
The Naismith for defensive player of the year. So yeah. That is pretty exciting.
And we will leave you to think about the possibilities of Sarah Williams becoming arguably the most decorated women's basketball player
as
a sophomore for the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Be sure to tune in to Badger Sports this weekend.
Heck yeah. You're listening to Game Days with the Girls. My name's Danny Savin, and I'm joined alongside
Dan Felsen.
And we will see you next week. Have a great rest of your day.
You're listening to Free Flow on W.
Thanks for listening to a podcast from WSUM.